Kia ora and welcome to the Power Up Podcast, powered by Te Puna Umanga, Venture Taranaki and produced by Raw Collective. We're back to celebrate the success of even more remarkable Taranaki entrepreneurs by highlighting their stories and showcasing the best of work and play in this exceptional region. Across six new episodes, you'll hear honest, practical stories from founders who've built businesses with heart. From global soil pioneers and iconic coffee to hospitality powerhouses, we've sought out entrepreneurs from our region that we know budding business people will learn a lot from. Together, we'll explore how this remarkable region, its landscape, its community, and its spirit continues to power people forward. I'm your host, David Downs, and this is a series about what it really means to build something great in Taranaki, where innovation and big ideas thrive. No mai, haere mai, welcome to Power Up. Today, my guest is Marianne, co-founder of Salad Brothers, a South Taranaki family business that's gone from complete career pivot to a thriving local success story. Marianne and her family had zero background in farming when they took over a hydroponic lettuce growing operation. But through grit, learning, and a healthy dose of humour, they've built something special, producing thousands of fresh greens every week for cafes, supermarkets, and markets across the region. We'll talk about how they made that leap into horticulture, the lessons they've learned about business and sustainability, and what it really takes to grow a family business from the ground up, literally. Hello, Marianne.
Hi.
Let's start with the basics. Your business is called Salad Brothers. I'm guessing you're not one of the brothers.
we did think about calling it Salad Sisters, but it just was a little bit of an awkward sound to it.
Salad Sisters. Sounds like a band.
Yes, a band, or I don't know. There was something just a little bit off about it we didn't love.
Yeah.
Even though it had good alliteration.
Yes.
And good feminist kind of.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we liked the heft of Salad Brothers, and it's because it's my husband and my brother.
Oh, I see.
So they're brothers-in-law.
They're brothers-in-law. That's lovely. That's very cool. So how did you start? And by the way, just a quick thing, going into business with your husband and your brother doesn't sound like business advice.
Yeah.
It sounds like a recipe for disaster. But
well, it has worked. It's been pretty amazing, actually.
Yeah.
We just a kind of surprised lettuce farmers. We didn't intend. It wasn't on the dream board or whatever. You know what I mean?
Like
we
didn't have a
vision board with. Yeah, but we it came up for sale in town, and our son looked at it, and he looked at it for growing microgreens, but it was too big. He was like, "Oh no, this is massive and like too intense for me." And then my husband got really excited about it, and then he showed my brother, and then he got excited about it, and then next minute,
you own a salad farm.
Yeah,
do you call it a salad farm? What do you call it?
Yeah, it's a salad farm. It's a lettuce farm. We call it a lettuce farm.
And but none of you from farming backgrounds per se.
Well, Chris raised calves.
Yeah,
and he also did horticulture at school. And
which one's Chris? Husband or brother?
Husband.
Good. Okay. Careful.
Yeah. So he did horticulture here at New Plymouth Boys High.
Yeah.
For 3 years, and then he went and worked in a council.
Yeah.
Doing their parks team. So he's done a bit of horticulture and gardening things. And Christine, my sister-in-law, is an excellent gardener.
Your husband's Chris, and you're Christine. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Righto.
Yeah. So you can say, you can call out Chris, and either they both answer or both ignore you. But
yeah. Awesome. So there was a bit of knowledge there, but it was a bit of a surprise to suddenly wake up one morning and find a lettuce farm.
It was a total learning curve. We didn't know what we were doing. We didn't know anything about how to grow lettuce, how to do hydroponic anything, water systems. I mean, Chris had a little bit of knowledge around water systems, so that was quite good. And then, both the guys are quite practical in terms of pipes and things.
Making stuff.
Stuff.
Because it's not just a lettuce farm, it's a hydroponic lettuce farm.
So
it's got a lot of science behind it as well.
Absolutely.
Is it all indoor grown?
Yep.
And how do you measure? How many lettuces do you grow a week or something like that, just to give us a bit of a sense of scale?
We have about 65,000 in the gullies, we call them, at a time. And then plus we have, tens of thousands of seedlings as well, depending on the time of year. So, like now in summer, we have less than that because we've turned off all the really hot houses because it grows so fast in summer that you don't need everything full.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you try and produce a similar amount every week through the whole year?
No.
Seasonal, is it?
It's seasonal, but also it grows differently. So in winter, it grows really slowly.
Yeah.
So we have to have everything planted up to the gunwales kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then in summer, it grows really fast. So if we had everything planted, we would just be throwing away heaps. We can't.
Wow. So
even though the demand increases over summer, we still grow less in terms of numbers than we do in winter.
I wonder why it is that we tend to eat salad in the summer but not in the winter, not as much in the winter.
Well, it's actually not a huge difference.
Oh.
Yeah, so there is a difference that we've noticed, but it wasn't massive. Like, people do have salad. And because you have it in other things as well. You don't just have a salad by itself necessarily.
Yeah.
People go, I think when you get that first cold snap, sales slow down when everyone's like, oh, we need a casserole, you know?
Yeah.
And then, but then after a while, people get sick of the stodgy food, you know? They're like, oh God, I need something fresh.
Yeah. So, it's a quick and nice way to get greens in you. So can you give us a quick 101? Like, I've got no idea. You've learnt how to grow hydroponically. Tell us what goes into making a bag of lettuce.
I guess if you start, we plant seeds into soil, into trays. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we have been using rock wool as well. We just have put that to the side at the moment. We can plant heaps more in rock wool. It's tiny little cubes, so you can do a lot. But we haven't loved the outcome of that, and it's a lot of trial and error. So we prefer the soil, and part of that is that the soil has really good bugs in it. When it's planted in soil, it actually fights diseases and things compared to planted in rock wool.
And another episode of this podcast, we've got someone talking all about the microbes in soil, so we feel quite well educated.
Yeah. No, it's lovely. Yeah, so you grow it into soil, like a seedling, and then we take it out of the trays and we put it into gullies that have a thin film of water running through them that's nutrient enriched.
Right.
So we have big sumps that are full of water. So it's recycling the water all the time.
Yeah.
Some of the studies I've looked at have said that hydroponic farming can use up to 90% less water than soil farming because it's recycled, and also because the evaporation, even from the gullies and that, is less.
Isn't that amazing? Because you'd think, in my mind, it's always water. Lots and lots of water, and therefore you're using lots of water, but actually it's much more efficient with water.
Yeah, yeah, it doesn't just drain away.
Fantastic. So and how long does it take to grow from the seed to the seedling to in a bag?
Between 8 and maybe, if it's really cold and we haven't had some good light, then between 8 and probably 14 weeks maybe at the most.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, that's not long.
Yeah.
So it's quite a different process than just regular growing, outdoor growing, because when you're growing outdoor, you're at the mercy of the seasons.
Absolutely.
And birds and bugs and whatever.
Oh, we still have birds. So there's the tunnel houses are big.
Yeah.
So there's birds everywhere. We've got thousands of quail running around everywhere. They're so funny looking, eh?
They are. I like how they wobble when they walk.
And the thing on the head.
Yeah, yeah. But they don't, do they eat the lettuce? Do you have to
They
them
kind
off?
Of eat bugs off the lettuce.
That's
so if there's bugs on the lettuce, they will eat it. It's kind of good, but they also put holes in it. So we would rather. And they make nests in amongst the lettuce and stuff. They'll have nests with at the moment we're finding nests full of eggs. We have to go and put them in a tree. So I hope you're watching. I'm putting it over here.
Your mum can find you.
Yeah.
Oh, golly. But when you grow in those tubes and hydroponically, do you get more control over quality typically?
I would say so, yeah, totally. I mean, one of the things I think, growing in the ground, they're really prone to damage to the outside that bacteria gets into. So I think, not having them being pounded by rain and wind and everything is pretty good. And there is less bugs as well. But we also try not to make too many interventions in the lettuce. So we use neem spray quite often, which is just a natural, I don't know if you've got kids, but if you have and they've had lice, you put neem spray on their head.
Like for nits?
Neem oil, yeah. It's just an oil.
Oh, okay.
And so it smothers them, which isn't very nice, but it's got no withholding period, it's safe. It's safe.
Right.
So you can.
No, that's quite, because you spray the lettuces, but only with that.
Only with that, and then sometimes we use a harder chemical if we've got a real infestation of bugs. We'll have to use a harder chemical, but it's rare.
Yeah.
And we usually have a bit of a debate about whether we're going to do it. So it's quite good. It's not just a given that we get to do that. We're like, nah, because we think There should be less chemicals in food, not more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just go back a step again. You keep saying we. So yeah. the business sounds like it's very much a family-run business.
Yeah, it's really family-run. We argue over pretty much every decision.
Like a proper family.
Yeah, but we're all really proud of what we've achieved.
Yeah.
You know, like it was in ruins, really, when we got it. So we didn't buy the business. We just bought the property and we had to pull down one of the tunnel houses and a big seed house behind that was all broken. And we've completely replaced all the plumbing. We've put three-phase power in. So we've done, hundreds of thousands of dollars of upgrades to
it.
And, yeah, we employ quite a few local people. Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, it's really good. So I think we feel really proud of that we've – it could have just – disappeared, you know. It's been a lettuce farm since the 90s.
Wow.
But yeah, it does take a lot of investment to keep it going.
And communication between the four of you, Christine and...
Yeah, Christine has gone to, she's looking after her grandchild at the moment, so she's not on site, but she's still a director, so she's still involved in decision making.
Fabulous.
Yeah.
And how do you divide up roles and responsibilities? Is one of you the boss and one of you
We've kind of tried that, but none of us are very good. We're all quite rebellious, okay. So it doesn't really work with any of us telling the others what to do.
Yeah.
So we kind of, try various ways of making sure things are done. And But we do have our own kind of areas as well. So I do mostly marketing and the office work, you know, the admin-y things.
Yeah.
And I deal with the customers and run the pack house, you know, get the numbers in for customers. We pack to order. So if you order it, we pick it and pack it and then we deliver it to you the next morning.
Golly. Is that
So that's that. That's today. That's packed today, the lettuce.
Oh. Show me your packet here. We've got it here, a demonstration. Oh, look at that. Salad Brothers.
Salad
Taranaki
Brothers.
Taranaki fresh, locally grown hydroponic fresh lettuce, 250 grams.
Yeah.
Wow. And it looks beautiful. It looks really, really crisp and fresh and
yeah. And I think yummy. That's one of the things we're really super proud of is that the quality is really good. Like you'll be hard-pressed to find anything, any like little blemish or anything in there. Like pretty much every leaf should be good.
I mean
you can't get every single one, but we try pretty hard. And you know, like when you open a bag of lettuce from the supermarket and then it's kind of like already
Some of them are like on the edge, they're gonna get a bit moldy, a bit gooey or slimy.
Yeah, and they kind of smell bad before you've even started. And you know in your gut that you shouldn't eat that. You're like, I shouldn't eat this, but then you're like, but I should because it's healthy.
Well, sometimes it's very, very dry, whereas yours looks fresh.
It's so good. It really lasts. Yeah. You gotta take it on the plane.
I will. I'll have it for dinner. Tomorrow. It's a mixture. I'm just noticing, I'm not a lettuce expert, but I know me icebergs from my causes.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to work out what are the rest of them, because there's about three or four different types maybe.
We've got six types of lettuce in there.
Six.
A green frilly, a red frilly,
yeah.
A green spiky, and a red spiky.
Did you just make up these names?
Yeah, they're not the proper names. They're the names that we're like, that one, we don't know what we're doing. The spiky one.
The other green one.
But that is what actually other like customers and things call them as well. Like we want green frilly lettuce.
Well, true. They,
yeah.
There's no point in having a fancy name if no one else knows the name.
And then we have a couple of buttercrunch lettuces in there.
Oh,
or
yeah.
Oaks, yeah. A green one and a red one. Yeah.
How cool.
Yeah.
Now, you just mentioned that was picked today. So picked to order. Does that mean you've got people out there almost every day?
4 days a week we deliver. We deliver twice to New Plymouth and then back around the coast. And then we deliver twice to Palmy via Whanganui.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And is it to store or to consumer? Where are you delivering to?
To stores, wholesalers, cafes, restaurants.
Oh, okay. Ah.
Yeah.
So that's why, because I always think that's when I go to a cafe and you go, God, the produce in cafes is so much better. I go to the supermarket, I can't get the same stuff.
Yeah.
The lettuce or the eggs or whatever. And then it's because people like you are delivering directly into those stores.
Yeah. Well, we do deliver it to the supermarket here. But it's just unfortunate if you don't live here.
Very difficult for me to just pop down for my greens every day.
Yeah, that's right.
So if you're picking four times a week, you're delivering, there's maintenance, there's admin work. What does a typical day for you look like?
If it's a pack day, we get to work, we look at what there is available. So it grows, especially at this time of the year, it grows really fast, the lettuce. So yeah. We go and see like what's there. We think about other things as well, like where do we need to plant? What do we need to pick to get that cleared out so we can replant it? Things like that.
Yeah.
And then I'll go through a list of customers, and some have standing orders. Some will text me their orders, or I'll text them, or, you know, somehow we'll get their
orders.
Orders will happen. And we'll do write that down, and then we do some maths about it, how many bins we need to pick and of what.
The spiky ones or the green ones or the red ones or whatever. Yep.
So we have like the ratio is more green frilly and red frilly usually.
Right.
And then a bit of the others.
Yeah. Choice. Yeah. And that sounds quite fun. Yeah. Quite hands-on too. Like,
yeah, it's good.
See what you've achieved.
Yeah. And then like when we've picked it, we bring it up. The scraps, so like, you know, you take the root ball off and any leaves that aren't nice, you take off and put them in a scrap bin and put the nice lettuce in a proper bin, a chilled bin.
Yeah.
And then we take the root balls and all the scrap lettuce and feed them to our cows.
Ah.
And they love it. So it's they full come circle. Running.
Do they?
Yeah, they love it.
Vegetarian cows, do they? Nice.
Yeah. And then we get the bins and we put them into a big tub of water.
Yep.
And wash them and check them again. Check that it's, you know, wash off any bits of dirt or, you know, any
stuff
whatever,
that should be there.
And pick out any bits that aren't nice. And then we put it into laundry baskets that you'd put your laundry in that have got holes drilled in the bottom and have got holes in the side. And we drain them and then we tip them into washing machines.
It's like a big spinner, like when you're at home and you get your salad spinner. It's like an industrial version of that.
Yeah, yeah. It's a washing machine. And we did used to have to like – so we've done like little mini innovations where like you did have to push on, spin, like you had to push something five times to get to
hot
spin
wash.
And then like five times to say how long and then start. And then my nephew who also works there.
Yeah.
He's
just
great.
To continue the
family. Just to continue the family thing.
Yeah.
He put one big button and a light on the back. So you just put it in and push that and the light goes on, and then when it's finished, the light
and it
goes
does
off.
All that stuff.
Yeah. So
is
one push and a button. Yeah.
Oh,
he's like a he's an engineer. Yeah.
What a cool thing.
Yeah.
So that's great. And then at the end of that it's spun, you got the water off, it's nice, you package it.
Yeah, then we put it into a sink and then someone weighs it and then they tip it into a big funnel and I hold bag underneath it.
Yeah, that's your job.
And then we stick it through the machine.
So this bag here is was made by your fair hands.
Well, actually, no, because today I said, no, I'm not coming in today. I'm going to go and do a podcast later. See you around.
I'm too busy. Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
That sounds like a very fulfilling thing to do, particularly with all these
it
family
is really
members
fulfilling.
Running
around. And just kind of these things that we're finding out all the time, like even how long things take or our first approach was just to kind of fix stuff, get things fixed and start growing lettuce and start getting customers. And now we're kind of getting to step back a bit more and go, okay, we know what we're doing a bit now.
Yeah.
And how do we innovate to find more customers, sell more lettuce to our existing customers or other stuff?
Yeah.
So we're doing a spinach trial at the moment because all our customers want spinach.
Ah.
But we didn't do it at first because we're like,
let's just nail this.
Yeah.
You're going to go into kale at some point?
I don't know. I don't think there's a huge demand.
There is not in my direction, no. So what challenges did you – I mean, obviously learning how to do all this, but what about from a business point of view? What were the business challenges? Finding customers, was that difficult?
Well, we did end up with a driver who had driven for the previous company, and so he kind of was like, hey, this is where they used to go. So we just sort of started with that.
Oh.
But certainly it was a challenge as well because people had found other sources, you know.
Right.
So we had to keep dropping samples off and go, yeah, but try ours because then you won't. So and people, we do have like a really loyal customer base because they're like, oh, yeah, it's good. And they do stick with us. Yeah, that just, what are the challenges? Bugs are a challenge.
Yeah.
You know, like making sure that we can grow lettuce that we feel proud to package up and sell is a challenge. There's just a different disaster every day.
Yeah.
You know, there's like water spurting out somewhere or like, you know, like someone in the team is having a bad day or something, you know.
So human stuff as well.
Yeah, human stuff.
And what about, you've also talked about the community. You said you employ a bunch of people. Is there a good relationship between the family and business and the community around you?
We're so lucky. Waverley's a really little community. It's less than 1,000 people. Oh. And they're so supportive. Like, because, and everybody's known the lettuce farm. Like, heaps of people worked there when they were kids at school or whatever. You know, it's your first job thing. And, yeah, we've just been blown away by the support of people, really. You know, like, there's a lot of talk in New Zealand about the tall poppy syndrome. And what we have found at the lettuce farm is kind of the opposite of that, where people were super excited for us to succeed and, you know, like, just even on social media, sharing our posts or saying encouraging things. And that's been really lovely. Yeah. So I think we're really lucky with that. And we do try and be, we are community focused as well. Like, if we have extra lettuce, we won't throw it out. We'll give it to the food bank, like on the house here in New Plymouth or the City Mission in Whanganui.
Oh, very nice. Mm. That's cool. Those things are really appreciated.
Yeah. Well, I think it's nice as well to, if you're at the food bank, to get something fresh.
Yeah. Yeah, not cans and things.
Yeah.
So it sounds like you've got values kind of in the business end. Family businesses typically, whether you consciously or unconsciously, adopt a set of practices or values.
Yeah, totally. I think that we want to be, our vision was to build a thriving business that made us proud.
Yeah.
So I think that really for us, there was some values around that, around sustainability, community, having a really good product, having a good reputation.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so we give lettuce away a lot as well to fundraisers and things, you know, like the firefighters.
Oh, that's nice.
And
is doing all of this, has it made you think differently about the food system and where food comes from?
Yes, it really has. I think that our customers are so excited to have quality produce, you know, to be able to make good food. And it's really not as easy as it sounds, you know. Like I've said, I think we've been really underserved in the lettuce market.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm surprised to hear myself saying that, but talking about being underserved in the lettuce market isn't a thing that I...
No, you dreamed of when you were a girl.
That I planned on, but yeah, I think, and actually like one of our bigger customers is Bid Food, so they wholesale to cafes and things as well. And they said when we started the lettuce farm up, they were like, oh, lettuce used to be our biggest complaint. Like, people would complain most about their lettuce. They'd ring us up and hassle us about how rubbish it was.
Yeah.
And he said that they don't get any complaints now. And it's made other sales of other stuff go up as well. So they sell more tomatoes and cucumbers and capsicums and stuff. Yeah.
Lettuce is like a...
It's the base.
You've got it because it's so obvious when it's not good. That's the thing about it.
As
I say, your bag of lettuce looks fantastic. Obviously, you grow in South Taranaki. You mentioned Waverley.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful spot. The weather conditions must be good there. What other benefits have you got from operating out of a town like Waverley?
It's just a really incredibly good community. There's a whole lot of other stuff. Like, I mean, it's on a coast. There's a surf beach. My brother's a surfer, so he goes surfing. He also goes snowboarding. You know, and he's like, oh, he's gone snowboarding more often living there than he has when he lived in Wellington because it's only 2 hours, you know. He's just like, and also because the nature of the business and because there's three of us, if one of us wants to go off, there's enough people there to just be like, you know.
Take a day.
Yeah.
No one's keeping track of your hours? Well, they probably are.
Well, I mean, my husband just went and did the Te Araroa Trail, so that was like three months. Well, he went with his daughter and she hurt her ankle, so they came back a bit early, but he's about to go again.
Good Lord.
To finish it, so he'll be gone for another 6 weeks, but yeah.
Gosh, you're very understanding. So it sounds like you're very proud of the business, very proud of where you've come from, your income to. Where are you going to take it? Is it now established as a business, you're going to keep it ticking along, or do you have aspirations to grow?
Well, I think it's at the next stage now. Like, it was a startup, and now we've really clicked over into the next stage. We've just had a partner lettuce grower a bit further along has just closed his doors recently, and he sent his customers our way, so that means we're going to grow some more. I mean, I think that's the thing as well. Like, we really try and work on, rather than transactional relationships, like relational relationships, you know, where we... you know, we worked really closely with that guy, and now that his business is closing down, he's like, I've told my customers to come to you.
Our
sales are about to really increase. Well, they already have. Today is the day that he sent it, and we've already had like heaps of people go, we need this much, and it's a lot.
Amazing.
Yeah, so that's fantastic. But we also are selling now.
Yeah. So selling the business.
Selling the business. And the land, selling all of it, selling the whole thing.
Yeah.
And we've decided to go our separate ways. So that is why we're selling. Because the business is really good. So we're like, you know, but we could keep it. But then we're also like, yeah, but let's not.
Right.
Let's go.
Time to do something.
Do our things. Yeah.
Well, you've established, sounds like you took it from virtually nothing. Broken down old place, fixed a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Grew the business, showed. So now you can sell it as a going concern, as a business.
Absolutely. And it's really good. And the trajectory is excellent.
Yeah. Good time to sell then, eh? There's upside for someone.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
So if someone's you're listening really to this and you want to buy not just a bag of lettuce, but a lettuce farm.
Yeah.
Get in touch.
And it's a, like an amazing lifestyle as well. Like pretty good to just be able to. Like I went to Europe twice this year.
Did you?
Yeah.
On lettuce fact-finding tours.
Lettuce. I wish I had.
You should have said that. It's tax deductible.
I know. I should have.
Did you have some lettuce while you were out there?
Oh, we tried to take some photos of some houses as we sped past in the train, but.
That's cool, though.
Yeah, it's quite a good lifestyle. That's why.
Yeah,
that's why you'd go there.
It's a good buy.
And you think, like, living in Waverley, it's an adjustment coming from Auckland, because I'm from Auckland originally as well. I went from Auckland to Wellington, and I was like, oh, that's better. You know, like, just one too many times turning down Dominion Road by accident or something, and you're like, oh, no, stuck for hours now. And then, I moved to Wellington.
You don't get that in
Waverley. Caught the train. That was nice. I was like, oh, yeah, this is better. And then I moved from Wellington to Waverley, and I was like, oh, this is great.
Wow, really
so chilled.
Relaxed. Yeah.
Yeah, really relaxed. Like, there might be a pheasant in the way or something you have to watch out for. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, the quails. But there's,
You must be learning about getting a business ready for sale.
Yeah. Yeah, and it was quite interesting as well because it made us look at some of the information that people would want to know.
Yeah.
You know, so we kind of had to dig things out looking at SOPs.
Writing them because you might not have heard them.
Yeah, writing them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Agreeing on them.
Yeah. Gosh, well, there you go. That's it.
Yeah.
And when you look at all the things that you've achieved as a business, well, there's a legacy here that you've built.
Yeah.
What do you think? What would you like to be remembered for in this business?
I don't know if I would like to be remembered, but I would like the business to carry on and carry on employing people. Because, you know, like as well as us with our, you know, our husband, wife, brother, sister, nephew, niece.
Oh, niece is there too now.
Yeah,
okay,
the niece is there as well. And then we also have a husband and wife. Another husband and wife that work there. And we have a mother and son.
Right.
That also...
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's kind of some families, as well.
Isn't that wonderful? That's a beautiful legacy. You can an employer in a smaller town.
Yeah. And I think that's really good to keep, you know, to be able to have an opportunity to work there. Like we've got some students working there now over summer.
Yeah.
Getting it tidied up and doing stuff.
And if you were to go back to the beginning of this whole journey, you know, the day you bought the thing, what would you say to yourself? What do you wish you'd done differently or what advice would you give yourself?
I think I would have been more excited. I mean, I was excited, but I think I would have been, maybe I would have been a bit more gentle with myself. You know what I mean? Like, we drove pretty hard to get it to where it is. And I think, we probably should have had more fun.
Yeah. Oh.
We did have fun. We had lots of fun, but I think we could have had even more fun.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Cool. So what happens next when you've sold the business, you've handed it over to the new lettuce farmers, what are you going to go off and do?
I am going to do executive coaching.
Are you?
Cool. I love it. Yeah.
Very nice.
I'm with a company in Auckland, actually, called The Bridge Leaders.
Okay.
They're really good.
Yeah, sure.
And I just do coaching on my own as well.
Yeah.
So even in Waverley now, I have quite a few clients. Yeah.
Gosh.
Yeah.
That's really
Waverley,
good.
Waverley Whanganui.
Wonderful. Well, that's cool. That's a bit of a change in direction.
Yeah.
Will you still wear the gumboots and the plastic apron? And...
No, I don't think I will.
All right, my last question for you. It's actually a question in two halves.
Okay.
We're asking everyone this question. What is one business decision you're especially glad you made, and what is one that you wish you'd handled differently?
We had a salad business in Tauranga.
Right.
Who came into town.
Oh, muscled in your territory.
Muscled in and undercut us by less than half price.
Whoa.
So less than half price. So we sell a bag of lettuce, for example, to cafes or whatever, for about $12.
Yeah.
A big bag. And they came in selling them at $5.
Cheapest.
Yeah. And then I was like, should we run a special as well? Like, because they did that for a month and then they went up to six something.
Right.
So they were still cheaper.
Just sort of buy the market.
Yeah, just to kind of get in, you know. Mm. And then, you know, so we had a big discussion about it. Like, should we put a sale on once their sale is finished to get people back or whatever? And Garth and Chris both said, I don't think we should. I think we should just hold our price.
Yeah, hold the line.
Stand by our product because it's really good, you know. And we, because we also give really good service as well, you know, like our drivers show up and deliver and, you know, and we look after people. So we did just stay with our price. We didn't change. So we don't fluctuate with the market. We don't go, oh, the market's doing this, so we're going to change. We just go, this is our price.
Yeah.
We haven't changed our price for over a year and a half probably, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that worked, that strategy?
And it worked. Loyal? And they actually ended up going into liquidation, unfortunately. Oh, yeah. So I guess that was a last ditch effort to kind of corner the market or something.
Trying to dump some product.
Or dump some product. But anyway.
And what about one you wish you'd handled differently?
That I can talk about.
Yeah. Oh, no, tell us one you can't talk about. That sounds like much more fun.
Yeah, that's much better, eh? Yeah. I can't really think of anything. Right. That's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, I wish we had, I guess, there's not kind of any point in wishing you had more knowledge or, do you know what I mean? Like, the learning curve was kind of fun as well.
Mm.
And even the disasters are kind of all right.
That's great.
It's not usually me fixing them.
When that water pipe bursts at 3 in the morning, you just
Garth's pulling his hair out, like there's water
fix
everywhere.
What a shame, Garth. I'm doing the spreadsheets at the moment.
Yeah.
Oh, that's wonderful.
So I've got to swan off to New Plymouth and do a podcast. Enjoy.
It sounds like a wonderful business and a great lifestyle and a good step into the next part of your journey. So good luck. Yeah,
thanks.
Thanks for coming along.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks so much for listening, and a special thanks to Venture Taranaki for making this podcast happen. If you're an entrepreneur looking for support, talk to Venture Taranaki. With a network of experts, Venture Taranaki can help with one-on-one startup clinics, mentoring, workshops, business advisory support, and power-up programs. Anything you need to bring your idea to life. Visit the Venture Taranaki website and get in touch for personalized support. And lastly, please rate, review, and subscribe. It helps others find us.